Hey, podcast listeners, still standing on the sidelines when you could be getting paid to play? Well, all your favorite NBA and college basketball teams are in action, and there's no better time to make sure you're betting with the best. BetDSI is one of the most reliable and profitable online sports books. Bet on the NBA, college basketball, MLB, UFC, NHL, and much more. It's your all-access pass for everything. And not only are there super quick payouts and bonuses, but BetDSI's live feature allows me to watch my team before I even bet. They even match any deposit you make up to $1,000. So play big, win big, and get paid anytime. Plus, when you sign up for BetDSI.com using our code, you'll get an extra 25%. That's 125% bonus. So join the winning team by signing on at BetDSI.com and use promo code WIN101. You'll more than double your bet. So don't leave money on the table. Visit BetDSI.com and use code WIN101. That's BetDSI.com, promo code WIN101, BETDSI.com, code WIN101.
The Blitz, KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready?
Hey, you think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number. 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is blitzed, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show, 713-780-3776 is the number. You missed the first hour. We'll soon be available on podcastarena.com. And thanks for tuning in, whether it's on the app, whether it's on the station, whether it's on the live stream brought to you by Twin Peaks. So pretty sportsy first hour for a Tuesday with not much going on.
Yeah. Been too damn sporty lately.
We have.
It's killing our vibe. That's why John and Lance passed us in the ratings.
You think?
I know. No, I don't really know that to be a fact.
Well.
It could be, though.
Interesting.
You got a better theory?
2 hours is easier than three.
You think so? I do think our third hour is as strong as anything they're doing, so... Might be on to something there.
Couple of NFL things. Apparently, Antonio Brown cleared the air with the Steelers, and they all decided, yeah, we need to trade you.
Yeah.
And I don't know how that's clearing the air, but if that's the conclusion you come up with, okay. So that's
what it took, huh?
It's going to be pretty punitive for the Steelers from a salary cap perspective. But I'm pretty sure... There'll be some teams very interested. If I'm San Francisco, if I'm Jacksonville, if I'm teams like that, although Jacksonville's got a little cap problem.
Yeah.
They'd have to get rid of some guys.
And I don't know if Jacksonville's the kind of team that needs to be bringing in a guy who's a pain in the ass.
Their best player on defense is a pain in the ass.
Right.
But
who happens to be their best player, period.
Yeah, yeah. I think, to me, if they were to get Nick Foles, that would be the other toy you would want.
Yeah.
And suddenly, I don't know what they're going to do with Fournette now either.
Yeah.
It's just kind of weird what's going on in Jacksonville, but you give him to Jimmy Garoppolo?
Yeah, they're dangerous then.
Yeah. And I think that team takes a big jump this year. I think Garoppolo stays healthy. I think they add another couple of key players, but man, if they could get a game-breaking receiver... And it's interesting that Beckham appears to be on the trading block, too, which,
They just signed him, though.
I know. That's another one where it's going to be painful for you from a cap perspective. See, Kirk Cousins has apparently pissed off Vikings fans for a rather innocuous tweet.
Yeah, I saw that. But I mean, I think it's partly just Vikings fan, but it's partly like Kirk Cousins not being totally with it.
Being a little tone deaf. He's got some tone deaf issues.
Yeah.
He says, in 2010, I was mad at King James for leaving Cleveland, but I've been in Miami for a total of 5 minutes, and now I totally understand. And then, of course, the first response is, well, Mr. Cousins, you could go 0-16 next year, and the fans in Minnesota wouldn't be as upset as they'll be over you taking subtle shots at our cold weather. No, they'd be more mad at 0-16.
Yep.
So, yeah, that's...
I mean, do people in Minnesota really love the fact that it's cold there?
Of course not.
But this isn't this the second time Kirk Cousins has made Twitter news in the last week?
Yeah.
Like, how about shut it down for the offseason, bro? Just save yourself the headache.
Yeah, because the thing is, if he just tweets out, oh, I'm in Miami, weather's great, going to be fun, that's one thing. But when you tie it to, oh, now I see why he left Cleveland, that's not a good look. Makes it look like you're trying to get out, which he can't. I mean, he's got two more guaranteed years, so... on the other hand, I wouldn't. How do you begrudge somebody for, oh, I'm going to go to Miami for the winter?
I don't get it.
You know, I think they'd be less upset if he had done better than 8-7-1 last year.
Probably so.
713-780-3776. I do have some movie stuff to get to if we want to mix it up a little bit. Let's squeeze in a call real quick. Try Paul.
Let's get movies and then calls.
Yeah, we'll call and then we'll do the movies.
All right, fine.
Paul, you're on the Blitz. Go.
Hey, Sports Paul.
Hey, y'all got it all wrong on the best Astros pitcher. It's Nolan Ryan. You got Nolan Ryan, Larry Durker, Ken Forge, Mike Scott. The best uniforms, the 80s uniforms. And in pro football, Antonio Brown's going to be trouble anywhere he goes. And the best uniform in the NFL is my Dallas Cowboys.
I think maybe you missed our sarcasm tone on the best pitcher.
Yeah,
I really didn't think it was Brandon Backe.
I really didn't think it was Bob Knepper. Even though I said it with authority,
thought we were going clear with that. But
yeah, I guess
in hindsight, like as a retro thing, I get why people like the Astros '80s uniforms. In reality, those uniforms were gross.
They were pretty hideous.
Well, I mean that's not a good look. You know, I just saw. Maybe my favorite baseball uniform is the Kansas City Royals.
Theirs is pretty classy, too.
Like the white, their white uniforms with just the blue script and the simple hat.
See, I think St. Louis, to me, kind of the same thing with, you know.
I like when St. Louis has the interlocking STL. I don't like the bat with the birds on it.
See, I do like that.
That's too much.
I like birds. But it's been the same forever. So... 713-780-ESPN is your number. All right, so USA Today did a list of the 10 greatest Oscar Best Picture winners ever.
Ooh.
And I'm just kind of curious if you agree or disagree.
Okay.
Number 10 on the list, Moonlight from 2016. That one I disagree with.
Yeah.
Spotlight should be on that list. Or 12 Years a Slave. There's a bunch of better Oscar winners than Moonlight. So that's basically the Bayless take. Number 9. This one's too low for me. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
That's a good one.
I can still watch that.
Yeah.
And that's number 8. The Silence of the Lambs.
Oh, that's a good one. But I mean, we're going to hear some like
there's
some
a of bunch
the ones
of
on this list are going to be like. Gone with the Wind and Lawrence of Arabia and Casablanca.
Well, some of those, but not as many as you would think. Number 7 is The French Connection, which is 71. That's probably before your time, but...
I've seen it.
Yeah, good movie. I don't know that I put it with these. Amadeus in 84, that one didn't do much for me.
Me neither.
How about all the way back to 1950 for All About Eve?
Never seen it. Never even heard of it, honestly.
Yeah, it's not... On the Waterfront's number 4. That's a classic. I could see that. Schindler's List, number 3.
That's a good one, but man, you can only watch that movie once.
Yeah.
That's not something you can ever watch a second time.
Yeah, that's why I wouldn't have it this high up.
So typically, when I think of like a great movie, it's something I can watch a couple times and still, you know, dig it.
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest and Silence of the Lambs, I can watch whenever they're on. And this one, I mean, I saw it once. I never need to see it again. Number two, Casablanca. Not really a shock there.
I already know what number one is. If this list is worth its salt, there's only one option for a rightful number one.
Well, what's your guess?
It's got to be The Godfather.
It is The Godfather.
Okay. Which, by the way, The Godfather Part 2 should probably be on that list, too.
Well, that's a real debate, which one's better out of The Godfather and The Godfather Part 2. I mean,
they're both in the top 10, though.
I would agree.
I haven't seen all those movies.
I think I've seen all of them except...
Particularly...
All About Eve from 1950.
Particularly, if it came out before 1970 and won Best Picture, I probably haven't seen it. I've seen Ben-Hur.
Yeah.
But mostly it's like 1970 and on, I've seen most of them. But like, the omissions to me that list is forgetting about, the most obvious one is Godfather Part 2.
Yeah, which should be on there, and we can toss any one of about four of these off of here.
The Deer Hunter.
That one should be on there. I think Spotlight should be on there. That movie was fantastic.
Platoon.
Did that win Best Picture?
I guess it certainly did.
Yeah.
Unforgiven.
Yeah.
Forrest Gump. You don't like Forrest Gump?
Not for me. That was,
you hate that movie. That was,
no, I don't hate it. It just wasn't Best Picture that year.
What about No Country for Old Men?
I don't think it's top 10.
I love that movie so much.
I like it. Don't get me wrong, but I...
And that, what,
I mean, you've already mentioned five that I would put on there before.
The Departed.
Same thing. Good, not great.
So good, Scorsese. And the one that's won recently, in fact, I don't even know if it's recent now. It's probably been a while since it won. The only one that, in probably the last 10 years that I'd make an argument for was Hurt Locker. I thought that was a really well-done film.
I'm sensing a military theme throughout.
I like war movies.
Yeah, I think I would make a strong case for Spotlight, which I think is one of the most brilliant movies I've ever seen.
Now, if we were to say what are the worst movies that have won that in recent years, The Shape of Water, Birdman, which is arguably the stupidest movie
ever.
Man,
and I wanted to like that. I tried so hard. It was terrible.
Argo, stupid.
Yeah, Argo was... Not good.
The Artist, stupid.
Yeah.
What else was stupid? Chicago, stupid.
Mm. Well, I'll throw Moonlight on there. Moonlight shouldn't have made this list.
Yeah.
I just thought that was way overrated.
Here's a bunch of movies. English Patient. That beat Fargo.
Yeah.
The English Patient beat Fargo.
But was there ever a better year than the Forrest Gump year? Because that was Forrest
Gump. That was 94. Pulp Fiction, Shawshank, and Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
And then it was like Quiz Show.
Which wasn't bad, but...
No, it was good. But there's another one that was in that. It was like... The Four Weddings and a Funeral.
Yeah.
1994. That was the best year.
I do think the Spotlight year was good because that was also The Big Short, which I think was just another one that was just brilliantly done. I could have seen either one of those win. And I can't remember what was supposed to win that year, but it wasn't Spotlight.
The year that Spotlight came out, it was supposed to be, wasn't it supposed to be Room? The one about that, or the one with the girl in the room with the kid, maybe I'm wrong, but that was like the Mad Max year.
The people can tell us. Yeah. But there was like eight, that was the year they had like eight or nine.
They always have eight or nine now. They changed that. Like I want to say late 2000s, they changed it to have more.
Yeah, Mad Max should not have been nominated. I'm sorry. And I love apocalyptic movies. But
I always remember like when there's one that I'm like, oh, this was such a great movie, and then they pick the wrong one. Let me pull it up right here. Okay. So they had a four-year run where there was a clear winner and they missed on it. 1996. Fargo should have won.
Yeah.
And a lot of people thought Jerry Maguire should have won.
No.
In either one of these would have been fine with me. The English Patient won. 1997. Good Will Hunting was such a great movie.
Agreed.
And Titanic won. And I get it was a big blockbuster, but Good Will Hunting's a better movie. 1998, Saving Private Ryan, one of the best war movies that's ever been made. Shakespeare in Love wins.
Yeah, that if you aren't moved by Saving Private Ryan, especially at the end when he's standing there,
dude,
at the grave and says, was I worth it? If you weren't moved by that movie, I mean, and the characters were so good. And when Vin Diesel tries to take the little girl, I mean, that movie was just so good.
And then 1999, you might argue with me on this, but I thought The Sixth Sense was like just so brilliant. And American Beauty won.
No,
American Beauty is just a weird, confusing movie.
No, I actually agree with you 100% on that. I think American Beauty was overrated, too. I think that was Kevin Spacey was great in it, but it was also the whole thing was just weird. And every now and then you get, the committee just goes for these strange. Like, I mean,
Chicago won over Gangs of New York, and Gangs of New York was badass.
Yeah, that's a fail. And I haven't seen everything from last year because once the damn fish movie won, I'm like, come on.
It's ridiculous.
That
ridiculous
movie was terrible. Terrible, I say. You know who was better than that fish movie? Manu Ginobili.
That's right. Manu Ginobili was in the fish movie.
You played the fish?
I don't know.
He kind of has that look.
You know what was better than Birdman? Literally every other movie that got nominated.
Well, wasn't that the one, though, that...
Birdman was... American Sniper was nominated, which I love because it's a war movie.
Right.
Whiplash, the movie about the drummer kid,
yeah,
which
was
also badass. Selma, and Boyhood, which I also hated.
That
Boyhood.
Movie was terrible.
That was a dumb movie. I mean, I get like the process of making it seem cool, but the movie itself sucked.
You know what's really good that I watched again that also, it got some awards, I think, but it didn't win. The big one was Three Billboards.
Oh, yeah.
That was a
yeah.
good movie. It's on cable now if you haven't seen it. It's Woody Harrelson and Fargo Chick.
Oh, movie that should have won when Moonlight won, Fred? Hell or High Water. Remember
yeah.
that movie?
Oh, that was...
The Bank Robber Brothers?
That's another one.
Badass.
That's another one that I would watch anytime. Yeah, there was also something else was supposed to win. Was that the dance movie or whatever?
La La Land.
La La Land, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and to me, Hell or High Water was the best one I saw that year. I mean, but you know what? It's also Texas and small town Texas.
Yeah.
So maybe it appeals to us more.
I don't know what's going to win this year, but either way, I mean, whatever wins is going to be probably like the second or fifth best movie.
You know what's going to happen? Bohemian Rhapsody will win, and I'll get pissed.
You might get pissed. I wouldn't mind it.
Because that was, you know what? The best movie I saw this year so far, and I haven't seen all the nominees yet. Was Black Klansman.
I haven't seen it either. I want to go watch
that. That movie was just really well done, start to finish, and the way they tied it up at the finish to current events was I really liked that movie. Well, I'll tell you, the Academy Award for Lawyers goes to one guy, Lawyer Dave.
What about Erin Brockovich? She didn't win, did
no,
she?
No, she didn't.
No, nope.
She can't beat Lawyer Dave.
She thought that she was going to win.
She probably tried to go up against Lawyer Dave. Guess what?
Gladiator won. Lawyer Dave's Gladiator.
He is. He's the Gladiator.
Or he's Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. I don't know.
Oh, I think he's the Gladiator.
Okay.
Because he kicks ass, right? And guys, if you've been hurt in any kind of an accident, a car accident, 18-wheeler, industrial, workplace, slip and fall, maybe you had a doctor give you bad drugs, maybe there was hospital negligence, well, guess what? Lawyer Dave can take care of you. And he practices everywhere in Texas. And how about this? Consultations are free. So even if it's not a personal injury thing, if you just got a question for Lawyer Dave, give him a call. And if he can't help you, he might be able to put you with somebody who can. But if he can help you, guess what? He doesn't get paid until you win. And you don't pay a dime. And maybe you can't even afford to go to a doctor. They're going to take care of it. If he's taking your case, then you guys are on the same team. He's not going to get paid until you win. Based here in Houston, but he'll practice over in the Golden Triangle anywhere. All you have to do is give him a call, 713-626-8900, or on Twitter at Lawyer Dave Law. And trust me, I've had questions for him that have nothing to do with personal injury, and he's either taken care of them for me or helped put me in the right direction. That's what he does for the Blitzers. 713-626-8900, or you can go to lawyerdave.com or on Twitter at Lawyer Dave Law. Need a lawyer? Better dial Dave.
This is The Blitz.
The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Texas A&M Alabama College Basketball, 8 p.m. tonight on ESPN 97.5.
And we are back on the Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. 832 says, Girl in the Spider's Web was better than Black Klansman. Not for me. I actually watched that this weekend. Was really disappointed in it. Which
I keep hearing things about Black Klansman. That's one I need to
check out. Yeah, I think you should check it out. But
it doesn't look like a great crop, though, of
no, it's not.
Best pictures.
But I'll say this. It must be a weird day on the text line because I've actually got one person who likes Shape of Water, which is the first person I've ever heard.
That guy's weird.
That liked, well, I don't know if it's a guy or girl, but that liked that movie. I mean, I gave it 30 minutes. I had 30 minutes into it. It's basically fish porn. It should have been 50 Shades of Grayscales. I mean, it was awful. And that won Best Picture.
Yeah.
So.
Not good.
But, yeah, I'm not the target audience because I don't like to have sex with fish.
That's true.
Well, it says the first 45 minutes of Saving Private Ryan is more intense than anything I've seen on television. When I watch it in my media room, it's an event. I mean, the pacing of that movie is amazing because you're right. I mean, that the opening sequence,
I mean, it's a long movie.
It is. But I mean, it's paced out so well because, you know, it's so intense at the beginning, and then you get this feeling of not really victory, you know, and they're going, and while they're going to look for this kid, and then it builds up the tension again to, you know, where each guy, you know, spoiler alert, where each guy kind of gets eliminated to the very end where it's just full of emotion. I mean, that movie is just really well done. Hip Hop Hercules says, Roma's probably the movie the Academy loves the most and you would hate the most this year, shot in black and white and not aimed at your average viewers.
No.
See, I don't mind black and white if it's done right, but I think that's subtitled, right? I don't want black and white and subtitle.
Yeah.
That's a bit much for me.
It's set in Mexico.
I did take a long look at it this weekend when I was looking for stuff to watch. And wound up not doing it.
I mean, almost all of these are set back in the day. Like, most of them are historical pieces. Like, they're not set in modern times.
Yeah, well.
I mentioned, you know which one I haven't seen that I really want to see is Vice?
Yeah. That one, I've heard good things about that. And for some reason, I just haven't seen it yet. I mean, there's no real excuse because I think it's been on demand for a while. Maybe it hasn't. I do like that they make all the award winners available to you. But this new little trick that DirecTV is doing that I absolutely loathe, this could be my Hey Man Bleep That, is buy it early. They do the buy it early thing. And it seems like every weekend there's a movie I want to watch. And I'm not going to pay $19 for it. I'm just going to do my little 3-day rental for $5.99. And you have to be real careful when you rent a movie now because when it goes up there, the first option you have is buy. Mm-hmm. And if you're not careful and punch a button twice, you just spent $20 on a movie. It's kind of kind of chicken bleep.
So as I was looking at these, like if you look at the best picture list, it tells you the people who have multiple wins.
Yeah.
And there's two people who have ever won the best picture award 3 times. One is Sam Spiegel, who produced On the Waterfront, The Bridge on the River Kwai, and Lawrence of Arabia. So he's old school.
Yeah, I've seen all three of those. On the Waterfront's the best of the three.
You know who the other guy who won three best pictures? Saul Zantz. Does that name sound familiar to you? So Saul Zantz, his...
I like to call him Saul.
His films were One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Okay.
Amadeus and The English Patient. I know Saul Zantz. I didn't know that he was a film producer. Right. I know Saul Zantz because he's the guy who ripped off John Fogerty in Creedence Clearwater Revival. Like he had that Fantasy Records that basically. So if you don't know the story of CCR, when they were making all their biggest hits, they basically were making no money. Like almost their entire career as a band, they made almost no money because this guy Saul Zantz ripped them off.
Which sucks because that was the era when bands could make money.
Yeah. And so, they were like, so most of these guys running around in private planes and stuff, and Creedence was on the bus. But yeah, it's pretty wild that that's one of the dudes who's won three times. Clint Eastwood's won twice. There's a handful of guys who have won twice.
Well, he shouldn't have won for English Patient, let's be honest.
No, he shouldn't have. But what are you going to do? Clint Eastwood, I mean, he's putting together a pretty good career.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't seen that The Mule yet.
I want to watch it, though.
But he really does seem to have embraced being an old and really doing films that take advantage of the fact that he's still a very fine actor.
He was he's been nominated for Best Picture 5 times. One with Unforgiven.
Okay, and
didn't win with Mystic River. Mm. Did win with Million Dollar Baby.
That was very good, too.
Didn't win with Letters from Iwo Jima, and didn't win with American Sniper. But
he didn't get nominated for Gran Torino?
No.
Because I thought that was one of his better old man movies.
Yeah. That was bad acting, though. I mean, it's a good story, but the acting in that movie is so horrible. Like, those kids that they hired, like...
Yeah, that's probably
true. It's almost
true.
Like he went around and was like, hey, I need a couple Asian kids. Any of you guys know what you're doing? You're hired. All right, I got to tell you about my computer career. If you're tired of the job that you're in, change it, man. Over 10,000 people went to mycomputercareer.edu and took their free career evaluation last month, and now they're on their way to a better life. They started 2019 in a bad job, not making enough money, and they did something about it. My Computer Career, you could start your new life as an IT pro in months, not years, months, even with no IT experience. That doesn't matter. Helping people start an IT career, that is what they do, guys, and it's not too late. You can join them. Go to mycomputercareer.edu, take the free career evaluation today. You could be on your way to that new life as an IT pro. You attend class on campus or twice or live online just twice a week. You'll get everything you need to start up your new career, and they're going to help you get into the industry because they work with hundreds of employers that hire their students. They're nationally accredited. Financial aid's available for those who qualify, including the GI Bill. Classes start up soon, guys. Go take that free career evaluation now. MyComputerCareer.edu. It's not rocket science. It's My Computer Career. MyComputerCareer.edu.
ESPN 97.5.
Behold the king. The king of kings. On your knees, dog.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-3776. Getting a lot of negatives on Mule.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
he's an old.
Yeah, well, but I'm still going to watch it. But somebody says Saving Private Ryan got caught up in the anti-Tom Hanks, much like LeBron, who could win MVP every year.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. You know who else could win MVP every year for the Houston Chronicle? Jerome Solomon. What's going on, man?
I was guessing that food chick.
No.
Tom Hanks, fella. He's sporty.
Yeah, we've been real sportsy today for some reason. We finally got some movie talking.
It's just not like you, fellas.
They said, Aaron said that he had to basically convince you to come on the show today, that you were basically showing no interest in coming on with us.
Bag. I've got these two germ buckets that moved into my house a few years ago.
Ugh.
Both of them have the flu, so I guess I can't really dog them. It's not just a regular old thing, but, you know, they'll be sick for 4 days and I'll be sick for 2 weeks now.
Ugh.
Oh, well, just think, another 10 years, they'll be out of the house. Yeah. It'll be fine.
I heard y'all talking about the dogs, the kids the other day, Fred. You're like, no, I don't miss that, some of that stuff at all. What's wrong with your bad self?
Yeah, I like that they're grown up now and that, you know, we actually have fun conversations and they're really good designated drivers.
That helps.
I'm looking forward to the day they get their license and move out. Not move out.
But kind of.
Yeah, you slipped up there, but that's okay.
Go to college and do well in life. That's
yeah, get on your feet and make a life for yourself.
And then just like all these other millennials, move back in after college because they can't pay off their student debts. So,
indeed.
Yeah, I've I will say this while Jerome's on the phone. Jerome's columns are the best thing about the Chronicle. That's one reason why I'm glad I'm taking it. But I've also, that series you guys did on the Southern Baptist ministers was fantastic. And so I don't know who's responsible for that, but that's one of the best things you guys have ever done.
There's important journalism out there that needs to be done by, you know, the best in the business. And, you know, these papers have always had the best in the business. And, of course, that's changed a lot over the last 15 years and even more so in the last 10 or so. But we still have the capability of doing great work if they let us do it, you know.
Yeah, that's the main thing. Just nobody's taking the resources to do that kind of stuff anymore. And it was just great to see. And the response to it and the fact that more cases have popped up because of those stories, it's just, you guys should be really proud of that.
And it is one of those things, too, where we're training millennials to dog the newspaper. But there's a large portion of the population that when they want to tell a story, they go to a newspaper. That's just kind of the way it is, you know, And we still make a difference. And we still make money, just not enough money for the corporation to be happy.
Not enough to pay you what you're worth either, but that's all right.
Oh, God. I could never make what I'm worth. I could never Manny Machado this.
So I noticed, yeah, I noticed the other day you were at the UH game, and how impressive is it to you what Kelvin Sampson's doing with this team right now, and how good are they? I mean, obviously – we're not going to know until they play another team that's top five, type top six. But do we not? I mean, are we convinced they can't compete with those teams?
Oh, I'm not. But you know me, I'm an unabashed homer when it comes to U of H basketball, coached by Kelvin Sampson. He's one of my best friends as a coach. I've known him forever, and have always admired the way that he coaches and what he wants out of a team. And this team, no, there are no, you know, lottery picks. There's nothing like that. But you don't need that to win in college basketball. And most of your lottery picks in college basketball are going to be freshmen anyway. This is a team that's deep, legitimately 10 deep. I mean, his backups could start for him. I mean, you know, it's not like his backups could go start for Duke or something. Let's not be ridiculous. But, you know, they're balanced and they're deep and those guys can play. And they shoot well enough to do some damage. They shoot three, but they defend big time. And when you get to the NCAA tournament, if you have a big time guard, they do have that, Corey Davis Jr., and you play defense, you go up against teams that when you get to the teams that are, you know, top four seeds, when those teams are having one of those bad shooting nights in the tournament and that pressure gets on, it's unusual for them. Well, a team like U of A, they can go and survive without shooting well and still win a game with defense. So they're going to be a tough, tough out, most likely. And, you know, are they one of the best two or three teams in the country? No. But I would not be shocked if they messed around and got to the Final Four. It depends on how it all breaks. They can pull it off. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's funny to me, too, watching this team all year. It's like early on, like Galen Robinson was probably your best player. Now it's probably Davis or maybe Giroux. It just seems to change as they go forward because they just have so many guys who can step up.
Yeah, and that's coaching. I mean, you got guys who, you know, the guys who hadn't played. And Giroux, you know, transferred over. And he isn't special at all, but he's coming into his own. He's coming into that role, coming off the bench. And you know, this is always overstated. I know it is. But they get along, you know what I mean? They don't have a whole lot of jealousy among players. And so when you don't have a lot of in-house bickering about playing time and who's going to be the star on a given night, it's easy for you to let somebody else step up and play. You know, when he's hot, he gets to have his day. You know what I mean? They allow that to happen. And when you're this deep into the season, it's real. It's not, you know, they haven't lost. I don't know how they'll respond to adversity because they haven't lost. They lost one game, and that one was it was stolen in a certain way, especially at the end. But and they're fun. I mean, I'm telling you, that new arena, perfect size, perfect setup, just the place is rocking, and fans are in there like you've never seen it before.
So what are you working on next? What's the next Solomon column I can look forward to?
I think I'm going to write about Tillman Fertitta. We don't know what he is as an owner, and what will happen if the Rockets collapse. And you know, he says he's very pleased with his management team, but you wonder if he'll feel the same way if they collapse early. If he'll feel the same way about Maury and D'Antoni, because he didn't hire any of these people. They were there when he got there. They had a great run last year, so he's like, cool, that's good. And if it turns around and it's the opposite this year, we have no idea what kind of owner he is. We don't know. We do know this. He's a mad, crazy fan. He was a fan before he bought the team. He's one of those people who jumps up and down and yells and screams and gets really angry when they lose. So it'll be very interesting to see how he reacts if they don't make a run.
How much of kind of his role at UH can you use as a parallel for his ownership with the Rockets? Because he's obviously been really involved with what they've done over there.
I mean, well, that's who he is as a businessman. You know, he's very hands-on, and that's just the way that he is and the way that he operates. And, you know, all businessmen do, but, you know, all CEOs and people in charge of the company, Dale, Tino, whatever, expect excellence. And if you don't deliver, they want change. And, you know, he set the bar at U of H and said, you know, there's a certain level that I expect from our coaches to deliver as a football team. And if you don't deliver, Tony Levine, we love you to death. Bye. Major Applewhite, hey, man, you just got here. See ya. Don't tell me he won't do that with Mike D'Antoni. You know, I was going to say he owns the Rockets more than he owns U of H, but that wouldn't be true.
Right. All right, that's Jerome Solomon. Joins us every Tuesday. Always has great stuff. Make sure you check out his columns in the Chronicle. And keep up the great work, man. Enjoy reading your stuff.
All right, fellas. Later.
Hey, I'm going to do a giveaway on the way out here.
Do it.
So at 5:47, if you want to come to Sam Houston Race Park Saturday night from 7 to 9, free buffet, special area, hang out with me. 5:47. You know what? Let's do this. First female caller at 5:47. You get the tickets. How about that? Let's take care of the ladies. And I promise at least two good winners Saturday night after already looking over the card. Two nice prices. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Blitz. Blitz.
On ESPN 97.5.
Listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN. If you haven't had a chance to pick up a copy of the novel yet, just go to JesusTheNovel.com. It's available in all forms, Nook, Apple Book. I'm kind of big on those Apple books now. I've been reading a bunch on my phone. Obviously, print version, audio version, Kindle. It's all there. JesusTheNovel.com. All right, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
Yeah, a bunch of people sent me this one, but... apparently, we go to Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Where some drug dealers were using a
bad hombre
special animal to protect their drugs.
Okay.
Some drug dealers used...
Was it a Hennessy rat?
It was not Hennessy rat. Damn. Because he would have failed, right? He passed out.
He passed out on the job. Horrible guard rat.
But... what the police did not expect to find, sometimes they, you know, there's pit bulls or snakes.
Yeah.
How about an alligator nicknamed El Chompo? The dealers,
that is pretty good.
Yeah, it is pretty good. The dealers allegedly use the animal to protect their drugs and money. Quite frankly, as far as we can tell with these drug dealers.
It seemed difficult to train, though.
Yeah, but it says the alligator may have been the brains of the operation.
Mm.
The zoo will house the alligator as an educational animal this summer, at which time it will be taken to the St. Augustine Alligator Farm and Zoological Park in Florida. So it does have a Florida tie. But three suspects are in prison and on drug charges. And El Chompo is at the Brandywine Zoo.
All right.
And that is your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
Did you see this story that Tim Burgess sent us?
No.
Hacked sex robots could murder people, security expert warns.
Oh, no. Listen, I knew this was coming.
I've already explained why I'm out on the sex robots because... You know, Skynet's coming. I mean, this is going to happen. And I don't want to be a part of it. I do not want to be a victim of my sex robot.
Doesn't sound fun.
No. No, I don't want her artificial intelligence deciding, I am going to kill you.
Yeah.
That's not what she's there for.
No,
it's not her purpose. One purpose. That's it. Sex robot. Not murderous robot. Not Skynet robot. Yeah, I guess he just sent it to me. But yeah, I'm kind of out on that. I don't want any part of anything that might kill me.
Yeah.
713-780-ESPN is your number.
I think you'll find, once the sex robots become, I think sex robots, when you were a kid, sex robots today are like color TVs when you were a kid. Like everyone was like, oh, what's the big deal until you got one. And then it was like, oh, now I see why. We got a color TV.
No, see, I don't ever remember having a black and white TV. I wasn't that old. Maybe early when I was little bitty.
Yeah.
But.
When you had to change the channel with the on the actual television, yeah. There was no remote. Yeah.
How about this? Here's a better one. 1983, we got cable. We were the first, I think we're the first family in Lamarck to have cable.
Oh, did you know Fred was a Rockefeller of Lamarck?
Don't ask me how or why, but we were one of the first ones.
Moneybags Fowler, they called you guys.
At the time, it was hard to get an actual cable into towns like that. So, I think our street was one of the first ones. And that was 1983, and all I remember was they had videos on USA Network. You know, it was always the same three or four videos. Yeah. Message in a bottle by the police. And... What the heck are you doing?
We're talking about you being a...
But the cool thing is...
The Vanderbilt Sowers of Lamarck.
Stop. But the cool thing was, now you wouldn't think anything about it, right? So that's what you're saying sex robots are going to be.
Yeah, and once they're in, you'll get a robot.
Yeah.
I like how you don't even deny it.
I
will.
Honestly, at this point, I'm kind of out on the idea just because... What if somebody was able to hack that thing and kill me?
Like who? Your wife?
Wife? Anybody. There's a lot of people.
Anyone.
There's a long list of people who I think would like to see me dead.
That's probably true.
So, I had some other stuff for the Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day. That little non-sportsy stuff. I don't know if you saw this video that went viral. But a drunken JetBlue passenger basically threw a tantrum because she was seated next to a three-year-old.
Oh, boy.
Enough that they arrested her. And this was a Fort Lauderdale to Las Vegas flight. So she's... Oh, do you? Yeah, let's hear it. Let's hear the audio.
She's old. Sorry. I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't do anything wrong. I'm going to miss my... They said they had a smart thing. So I'm going to miss my $500 ticket. So I'm not getting off this flight. I'm not getting off this flight. I'm even bashful. Oh, you want to tape me, make this viral, bitches? I didn't do anything. What did I do? Yo, someone make this viral. You want to make this viral? Make it viral. What did the did I do? I called someone old because they were? All right, I'll get my bag. I'll take my f***ing s***. F*** all y'all. I didn't do anything. I sat down in my seat. and I asked to go somewhere else because they were being tape this. Who's taping this? You to get the. I'm getting off the plane. Don't touch my. I'll get off the plane. Get my off the fucking under things.
The under things.
Oh boy.
Yeah, and she was arrested at the airport and charged with battery.
Sure, there's some boyfriend who's really disappointed that she missed her flight.
Probably not.
God, I thought.
Thank God that nightmare didn't get on the flight.
No, I think he was more like, I thought I was going to have a week to myself. And
oh, yeah. Back at home, you mean?
Yeah. She was clearly headed out on a girls' trip of some kind.
I had it edited out, but as she's walking off, she goes, "Everybody have fun in Vegas. I'll beat you there by an hour."
Oh, Vegas?
Yeah. No. Well, she goes, "I'll beat you guys there by an hour," and the flight attendant goes, "Yeah, think again. You're not getting there in the next 24."
Jeez.
Oh, man. 713-780-ESPN is your number. Somebody asks, is she hot? She's not. Yeah.
She's not unattractive?
Yeah, I mean, she's not. She's probably like, oh, I don't know, 6 or 7 shots.
Okay.
Maybe 8 shots.
All right.
Before you would. I mean, you wouldn't sober.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. But not quite into totally sloppy falling down.
That's good. All right. I'm going to tell you guys how to save some money on your home insurance. Grab your smartphone, first of all, if you own a home. If not, you can just sit this one out. Our friends over at TGS Insurance are about to deliver you some big savings on your home policy, all without ever having to deal with an agent. It used to take hours to get a reliable home quote, and then someone came along and said, hey, how about 15 minutes to save a few percent? And that was cool. TGS Insurance, they've stepped up the game. They've built a new system that now gives you a firm quote in 15 seconds. Seconds, using nothing but your address, and you're probably going to save a bunch of money with these guys too. Grab your phone and text the word money to 232323. The system's going to ask you for your address. You're going to reply back with your address, and they're going to send you back a full quote with excellent coverage within 15 seconds. This company, the savings, it's legit, man. The online rating is nearly perfect. The average customer from 2018 saved over $825 on their home insurance. If you don't need $825, okay, maybe this isn't for you. But if you would be cool getting an extra $825 this year, you may want to check this out. And you don't have to wait until your renewal because TGS Insurance takes care of the back end. Free your mind and fatten your wallet. One more time, text the word money to 232323 and get your home insurance quote. Start saving big today.
So, you want to go out tonight but don't know where to go? Easy fix. Head over to culturemap.com for the latest social happenings going on in the city.